Well, family, it is good to see all of you. I want to get into our thoughts again, as they always do. Here's a scenario for you. You're in the grocery store. You're ready to check out. So you decide that you are going to go through the express checkout because you only have 5 items. And so you go through the express checkout so you can scan your 5 items and leave. You approach the express checkout lane to find out that they have 6 scanning stations available. But each of them have people with groceries in their carts filled in the express checkout lane. Not to mention, there are 5 people in front of you who also have carts that are filled with groceries in the express checkout lane. Now you, in your mind, are screaming, "Hey, this is the express checkout lane, 10 items or less." Then of course you look at everyone and you smile with that kind of fake smile because you don't want everyone to know what's going on in your head. And so you keep that smile on and you look to the people in front of you and you kind of show in your cradle arms that you only have 5 items. And so what you're hoping to find here is you're hoping that someone is going to be just so thoughtful of you and allow you to come up and check your 5 items out. Well, it doesn't happen. So you look down towards the other checkout stations. You see there are long lines there as well. And as you look to see those long lines, back in your mind you go. You look at those folks in front of you and you're screaming once again, "Hey, 10 items or less, people. This is the express checkout. I just want to get out of here." Now, the people in the other islands, you notice that they're moving right along rather quickly, but you're stuck in the express checkout lane, and everyone else is checking out. So you decide, okay, I'm going to keep my cool. I'm going to keep my calm. Oh, I see the attendant is helping everyone else in the express checkout lane. So they're going to be moving along rather quickly. But then you notice the other shoppers. They're still moving along faster than you. And so now, 30 minutes of standing here in this line, you're furious. It's your turn to go up and check out, and so you do. Now, the attendant noticed you through this whole process. The attendant noticed you were a little frustrated. And the attendant understood why you were frustrated. Because it is the express checkout lane. And it's supposed to be only 10 items or less. And the attendant noticed that everyone else had full grocery carts and you only had a few items. So the attendant, as you're checking out, decide, "I want to do something to make this person feel better. I don't want them to leave with a bad shopping experience here." And so the attendant makes eye contact with you as you're leaving out, trying to find something to say that will just kind of make your day a little better. So the attendant wishes you a Merry Christmas. That didn't help either. Now, this experience in the grocery store was just a warm-up for the next event to come. You're now in your car. You sit there, you take a deep breath. You're leaving the grocery store parking lot. You come to a red light. You're sitting at the light, and you're waiting for your turn. When all of a sudden, the motorist behind you starts blowing their horn. So you look around, and you're trying to find, who's he blowing his horn at? There's no one there but you. So you sit there, you look up at the light is still red. But again, the motorist behind you is blowing their horn at you. Now, you just went through the express checkout lane. You haven't really recovered from it. Now you have someone blowing their horn at you. And it's not just one person blowing their horn at you. There are now multiple people blowing their horn at you. And now, you've had it. And you open your door, you get out of your car, and you're yelling at a rage at them because you're sitting at a red light, they're blowing their horn at you, and you don't know why. Everyone sees you at a rage. Everyone stops blowing their horn. You get back in the car. When you get back in the car and you calm down, all of a sudden, this calm voice asks you a question. Honey, were you going straight or were you turning? What do you mean? Well, were we going straight through the light or were you turning? Well, babe, I'm going straight through the light. Well, honey, you're in the wrong lane. You're in the turning lane. That's why everybody's blowing at you. And now you have to turn. There's a quote I took off of PinterestBulletinBoard.com that says, "A moment of patience in a moment of anger saves you 100 moments of regrets." Now, what do you do with this moment? Because here is your mate who was sitting there in the seat next to you, not saying a word, realizing and understanding what was going on, but you're at a rage. You're angry. You're upset. Well, family, you want to go back today. And today I want to take a look at that third instruction that we find in James 1 in verse 19. We've talked about James sharing with us to be slow, be swift to hear, slow to speak. And now let's take a look at the third instruction, which is to be slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. Slow to anger. James 1 and verse 20, we read, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And so God wants us to take note of these three instructions, as he does all of his instructions in his word. But these three we're taking a look at because we are called to be not just hearers of God's word, but doers. So the title for this message this afternoon is very simple: Be Slow to Anger. But first, let's take a look and see how anger affects not only our spiritual health, but our physical health. I put an article up by Debbie Strong that was written back in early 2000, and her article was updated again on May 29th of 2015. She writes, "People who are angry often feel sick more often. Sometimes anger can be good for you. If it's addressed quickly and expressed in a healthy way. In fact, anger may help some people think more rationally." Never helped me. Of course, I don't get angry that often. I'll try that one. Helps you to think more rationally. However, unhealthy episodes of anger, when you hold it in for a long period of time and it's turned inward or explodes in rage, this can wreak havoc, total havoc on your body. If you're prone to losing your temper often, here are 7 important reasons why you should learn to stay calm. Now, there was a reason why God wanted us to be slow to anger. Let's look at the the health reasons. Dr. Chris Aiken writes, number one, an angry outburst puts your heart at a greater risk. 2 hours after an angry outburst, the chance of you having a heart attack can double. Now, I know many of you in this room don't get angry. You don't blow off the handle. You're not at a rage. This is just for us to be able to teach others down the road, yes? We don't get angry. Okay? He also says that repressed anger, where you express it inwardly or go to great lengths to try to control it, is also associated with heart disease. Point number two, anger increases the risk of having a stroke. It causes you to have the possibility at risk 3 times greater of having a stroke from a blood clot in the brain or bleeding in the brain. And again, he reports that 2 hours after an angry outburst is a strong possibility. This continues, you can have an aneurysm. Didn't know that. Number three, it weakens your entire immune system. It's very interesting how anger can not only just affect one part of your body, but it affects many parts of the vital organs of your body. Number four, anger problems can make anxiety worse. Now, I know this one right here will probably get a few of us, because if you are a worrier, I don't think any of you in here are worriers, but just in case if you are, it's important for you to know that anger and anxiety go hand in hand. There's no separation. Number five, anger is also linked to depression. Numerous of studies have linked depression and aggression and angry outbursts, especially in men, that causes men to be more aggressive and more depressed. Interesting. Number six, hostility can hurt your lungs. A Harvard group of scientists studied 670 men over 8 years using a hostility scale scoring method to measure anger levels and assess any changes in men's lung function. The men with the highest hostility ratings have significantly worse lung capacities, which increase their risk of respiratory problems. The researchers theorize that the uptick in stress hormones are associated with the feelings of anger that create the inflammation in one's airways. So we have the heart, we've got the lungs, we have our immune system that's affected when we're angry. And last but not least, anger can shorten your life. It's really true, it says, that happy people live longer. Stress is very tightly linked to our general health. If you're stressed and angry, you have shortened your lifespan. Over a 17-year period, couples were studied, and in the study, they found that those who hold in their anger have a shorter lifespan than those who let you know that they're upset. Couples who hold in their anger. Your wife comes to you and says, babe, are you angry with me? You're upset with me? No. I'm fine. But babe, everything about you says that you're angry with me. I'm okay. Are you sure you're not angry? No, I am not angry with you. I'm fine. Okay, just checking. I want to make for sure. And so when we hold this in, instead of coming out and says, yes, I am a little disappointed here. Okay, and what we men sometimes fear when we say that is this is going to lead to a very long conversation that we don't want to have. And so we suppress it by saying, we're okay. Everything's okay. I'm fine. Honey, let it go. I'll get over it. So why don't you just kind of get over it and leave me alone nicely? So you go into your private room, you close the door. You know she's coming, so you lock the door. Now, what about our spiritual health, family? Because this is what we're talking about today. We're looking at the third instruction, be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. Because the man's anger does not produce the righteousness of God. We read this here in James 1 and verse 20. Ephesians 4, let's go there in verse 25. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth to your neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, of course, in marriage, we as husbands, you as wives, we know those little triggers. We know those little buttons that we can push from time to time to get one stirred up. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes not intentionally, sometimes just out of frustration. But nonetheless, it happens. But we're told here not to give place to the devil. And the same holds true in relationships with friends. People who know you very well know what buttons to push to get under your skin. And we likewise as well. But we are instructed here, Paul is telling us, be angry, but don't sin. And that same process, don't give place to your adversary. When we give place to the adversary, it's an invitation. It's an open door or an open window for us to come in and allow the adversary to be a part of a private conversation. Now, the adversary wants to be a part of that conversation because he has one purpose and one purpose only. He is going to feed off of our emotions and cause division between the two. That's his purpose, to conquer, to divide. So we go back to James 1 and verse 20, and we realize and we begin to understand as we go through this, I'm going to keep going back to James 1 and verse 20, because we want to understand that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You don't have to go to Proverbs 15 and verse 1. We know this quite often. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words. You see, God inspired James to give us these instructions so that we can learn how to better communicate with each other, especially when we're under stress. Sometimes it's not that our mates or our friends are trying to poke at us. Sometimes they really are trying to help. But we need to learn, family, to better communicate with our mates and our friends that we just need a moment. There's a world out here that's very, very angry. This opportunity right now is for you and for me to learn this God's way. Because as we learn it today, we are going to be responsible and instrumental in teaching the world tomorrow how to control their anger. When you look around and you look at the news or you look at your iPhones, and you see the news reports, you see anger all over the place. You see people that are upset for various reasons. But family, what we don't want to do is we do not want to open that door and give our adversary an opportunity to come in and interfere with our lives. David says, be angry, but don't sin. God didn't tell us that we could not be angry. We just have to learn how to control that anger. The instruction is to be slow to anger. So When we have a situation that's going on, we have to go back to the first part of James 1, and we have to learn to have that attentive ear. Matthew 18 and verse 15, in this account here, we're told that if your brother or your mate sins against you, you go to them and you talk to them. And when one comes to a brother or a sister in this venue to have that conversation, we have to go back and we have to apply the principles of James 1. Because if someone's trying to explain to you that you've caused offense, you have to be swift to hear. And remember, the number one principle when it comes to being an effective listener is don't talk. Don't talk. Because what we want to do is we want to gain the understanding and we want to know why my brother or my sister or my friend or my coworker is angry and upset with us. And so we're told, go to that individual. Talk to that individual, you and you alone. And if you cannot gain what you need to gain in this conversation, then you take someone else with you. And this principle, family, is just not applied to just us here in the church. This is our life. This is a way of life for you and for me. So when we're at work and we have situations that we're dealing with, we still have to use these same principles. Go to your brother. Talk to your brother. Get it worked out. Because when we do this, then we're showing honor to God. We're not giving place to the devil because we are doing what the Word of God has instructed us to do. And when we do that, we're honoring God in that same process. Matthew 5, verse 21. Matthew 5, verse 21. We read that you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And so we have to be careful with that anger because we will be held accountable for our actions. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, the Greek word which means empty one or worthless, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in trouble and in danger of the eternal fire. And we don't want to do that, family. We want to be able to have that right relationship with one another. And sometimes it's just not easy. And so we have to find ways to work out our differences and control our anger, control our emotions. And it's not always easy, especially when you want to punch the people out. Now, of course, I'm sorry, none of you have ever experienced that before. You never want to just kind of, you know, Father, can you turn your head for just a second that way? Okay. We go through that. We do that. We experience that. But God is saying, hey, I need for you to learn to control that. So I want you to learn to be slow to anger. Cain's wrath against his brother did not produce the righteousness of God when he murdered his brother. Let's go to Genesis 4 and take a look and be reminded of some events that took place here. Because what we're looking for is we're looking for ways to produce the righteousness of God through our efforts and being obedient to God and being slow to anger. Genesis 4 and verse 4, we see where Abel brought his firstborn of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And so God had a conversation with Cain. He says, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? So the Lord said to Cain, you know, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And yet, family, we see this type of attitude taking place throughout the world, throughout families, not just here with Cain and Abel, but we see that in the world, where family members are angry with one another because they didn't have their way or they didn't get what they needed or what they wanted. And so they lash out in anger. And this is why it's so important for us to learn now how we are to discipline ourselves and control our anger. Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, he says, sin lies at your door. And what we're talking about here is, it's okay to be angry, but don't sin. He says, sin lies at your door, and it desires you, but you should rule over it. It's what we're being told. We must rule over our emotions. We must rule over our feelings. We must learn how to discipline ourselves and be slow in our response to others, especially if we're stirred up. And yet here is God having a conversation with Cain. And yet Cain didn't even receive God's instructions. He did not even receive the conversation. So what did he do in verse 8? He went out and had a conversation with his brother. And when he went out to have a conversation with his brother, that didn't go well, did it? And so he murdered his brother. Now, the question I have for us right here is this. Why was Cain so angry with his brother? God was the one that rejected his offering. Why wasn't Cain angry with God? But he took it out on his brother. He murdered his brother because God was pleased with Abel's offering. He murdered his brother. And this is why God wants you and me to get the understanding of why it's so very important that we learn to discipline our emotions. Here we go back to James 1, verse 19 and 21. It takes change and humility to receive that implanted word of God. There was no humility here on the part of Cain. There was no lesson even learned. But yet, in families today, we see these events taking place. Parents being murdered by their children. Children being murdered by their parents. You know, one of the sad things this year, for the last 2 years, our family members here have helped out with putting the little tags on our little stuffed animals. And we take those stuffed animals and we take them to the Tennessee Highway Patrol office and we give them to the commanding officer to share with seven of their deputies. We did, I think it was like over 300 bears last year, sitting right here in this room, putting little tags on them. The purpose for those bears was to be given to children out on the highway. If there's an accident on the highway and children are involved, the officers will take those little stuffed bears and they will present the bear to the child to calm the child down. And a little tag on the bear, the officer has the opportunity to write the bear's name on it for the child, kind of building that relationship and trying to calm the situation because the child's parents have just been in a very bad accident. This year, we presented those bears as the last part of January. When the pandemic hit, they went through those bears rather quickly. And when they went through those bears rather quickly, it had nothing to do with accidents. It was domestic violence in the homes. It was domestic violence in the homes. People are at home. They can't go to work. They can't go out because there were shutdowns. And so there were children involved in a lot of those situations in those homes. And they've come to me and said, hey, are we going to do the bear drive again this year? Well, our team has already started. We're already up to about 200 bears. The sad thing about it is just thinking about the anger. People being so angry over something they have no control over. And people's lives are being affected because they have no discipline and no control over their emotions. And little children are involved. It takes change and humility, as we learn in the first part of James 1, to receive that implanted word. That means some things have to change within our lives. And this is what we're going to be teaching later on. Cain didn't even have the understanding that God was trying to give to him to let him know, hey, if you do better, your offering will be accepted, and I will be pleased. He didn't put forth that effort to make that change. So what did he do? He did the next best thing. He went out and murdered his brother. But yet he was angry with God, and he murdered his brother. You know, this season that the world is in right now, this is supposed to be the season of hope, the season of giving, the season of blessings, the season of joy. But yet, it's not very joyful out here, and it never is this time of year. People are emotionally upset and angry because of the fact that they can't do what they normally do during this time period, which is spend money that they don't have because they're being forced or obligated to do something that they really don't want to do. But yet, because of the season and the spirit of giving, people put themselves in financial jeopardy. But where is the righteousness of God in this season? Where is the righteousness of God? If this is to be true, then where is the righteousness of God in this season? It's not there. It's not there because God is not a part of this season. And yet the world itself knows and understands that God is not a part of it. But it's the season. Let's get into the season. Let's get into that spirit. Why are you all not in the spirit? You know, this is what they're asking you and I. Where's your Christmas spirit? Well, we gave that up years ago when we were baptized, because at that point, we took on a different spirit. We took on God's Holy Spirit, a spirit that will help us produce the righteousness that God would have us to produce. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. This season kind of draws us in sometimes if we're not careful. Verse 24 says, make no friendship with an angry man. I don't know why we would do that. But yet, do not make friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, you shall not go with, lest you learn his ways and get a snare to the soul. In other words, you get involved in this situation, you get trapped, you get caught up in it, and then you are deceived. Family, this is about you and I as God's people producing the righteousness of God. And how do we continue to do that? We do that by honoring God. We honor God in what we do. How do I work to be slow to anger? Very simple. James 4, you don't have to turn in, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do not invite the adversary, nor give the adversary place to come into our lives, to be a part of any situation, any conversation that we're in. You know, one of the things that years ago, and I don't know if it was my wife or myself, really doesn't matter, but the conversation was made. When we had a disagreement behind closed doors, there was always somebody else in that room with us. There was always somebody else in that room with us. The adversary would be in that room. Jesus Christ would be in that room. And how we want this thing to turn out depends on which spirit we use. So do we use the God's Holy Spirit? Or do we give place to the devil? We don't want to give place to the devil, family. We want to honor God by showing and display of our character and our lives on a daily basis the fruits of his Holy Spirit. As depicted in Galatians 5 and verse 22, you know these by heart, you can spit them off. You know, the spirit of God's Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. being in control of your emotions, being slow to anger. Psalms 103 and verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, and he is slow to anger. We want to display the characteristics of our elder brother Jesus Christ and God the Father. God is slow to anger, and we should be very thankful that he is. Because when we go back in Deuteronomy 9 and we read where God was angry with the children of Israel, he was ready to destroy them. But Moses prayed for the people and he beseeched God not to destroy them. And yet God loves Israel. Family, we want to produce righteous fruit before God. But we must first be right in this relationship with him. What type of relationship do we have with God? What type of relationship do we have? You know, it's very difficult from time to time, and even during this time, as Mr. Evans read the message of the loss of a dear friend. It's very difficult. We know that God's in control. We know that God's in charge. But it's still difficult because we have emotions, we have feelings, we care, we love the individuals, but yet we have the questions, God, why? And why now? You know, God has the answers. And family, we must learn to trust him in every aspect of our lives. And a lot of times we don't have that understanding and we don't know why he's doing what he's doing. But family, what he wants us to be able to do in this relationship with him is to trust him. He knows what's best for you and for me, and he is going to work out these things within our lives. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We've got to trust and believe that he is going to deliver us across that finish line. The goal is God's kingdom, and we've got to stay focused. And we've got to keep looking forward. We have to keep looking up. And sometimes, family, it gets very difficult. It gets very hard for us as we take this journey on a daily basis. But yet our focus is on Jesus Christ and God the Father. And we've got to make for sure that we keep a very clear focus. This year, family, has caused a lot of distractions for God's people. The distractions that have made many of us very angry and very upset. This pandemic, the mask, and now the presidential election. People are angry. And some of God's people are angry. And some of God's people are very disappointed. And to remind us, God says it's okay. It's okay to be angry. But don't sin. Don't let your anger get the best of you. Because it not only will affect your spiritual health, it will affect your physical health as well. And that's interesting, the points that were shared from those physicians about our spiritual, our physical health when it comes to our emotions, especially anger. You know, God has these things under control. As far as the presidential election is concerned, it's not our concern. It's not our worry. Our focus is on making our calling and election sure. This election, our election, is what we have to make sure of, not this worldly election. We shouldn't even be giving thought to it. We shouldn't be paying attention to it. God has us under control. What are we reminded of in Romans 13? Romans 13 says, let every soul be subjected to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So if God is the one who makes these appointments, then why are we worrying about the things that God has control over? Why are we allowing ourselves to get stirred up over whether or not one man is coming in and one man's going out? It's not our concern, family. That's God's issue. Our focus is to make our calling and election sure. That's where our focus needs to be. On the return of Jesus Christ. When Christ returns, is he going to find faith? Or is he going to find God's people wandering around, worried about things we have no control over? Angry and upset over things that we cannot change. Family of God, there is still time on the clock for us to continue to move forward, to grow, to overcome, to make the changes necessary that God wants us to make. He wants us to be swift to hear his word. Not be swift to hear what's going on in the world. He wants us to be swift to hear his word and slow to speak so that we gain that understanding that we need in order to move forward as his chosen ones. Daniel 2 and verse 20, you don't have to turn there. Daniel says, blessed is the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the season. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. This is what our God is doing. And we have to trust and believe and have faith in him that this is taken care of. As Mr. White said in one of his messages, God's got this. And I've been using that expression ever since he said it. God's got this. And he does. But do we believe that? Or do we accept it? It's the question. Do we accept the fact that God's got this under control? And do we believe that God has this under control? You don't have to turn to Psalms 45. David tells us, he says, you, Lord, love righteousness. And that's what he wants to see in you and me. We must display godly righteousness in our lives. We must be in control of our emotions and not allow our emotions to get the best of us. He says, you love righteousness, but you hate wickedness. God hates wickedness. When we look out into this world, this is what we see. We see wickedness all around us. But what are we doing about it? Are we being overcomers? Are we moving forward with our lives so that we can begin to rule with Jesus Christ and help teach this world God's ways? This is our ready room. This is our ready room right here, family. This room prepares you and me on a weekly basis to meet the challenges before us. And we have to get ourselves stirred up. And sometimes, family, we just need to stir up that gift within us in order to be able to move forward. We've got to rise up to the occasion every day. We've got to pick up that sword, put on that armor, and get out and do the work that God has given us to do. We don't have time to be caught up with the distractions of the world, family. We have to stay focused on the mission in front of us. Proverbs 16 and verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he even makes his enemies at peace with him. Family, what are we worrying about? What are we worrying about? You know, one of the probably harder lessons for me to learn over the past 4 years and being without my wife is the fact that God obviously knows what he's doing. And so, what is it for me to do? To keep moving forward. I can't fix her. When I accepted the reality of the fact that out of all the things I could fix and repair, I couldn't fix her. And God allowed me to see and to know, I got this. You don't. And for a man, that's very discouraging because we are fixers. We repair things. The wife breaks them, we fix them. That's how it goes. The wife is broken and I can't fix her. And that's very difficult. And it's very difficult to watch and to see the struggle of just trying to remember. But yet God's love and God's mercy is very clearly visible to me. And so God has a work for me to do. And so therefore, I keep moving forward. I have not forgotten her. I have not cast her aside. And neither has God. I just have to accept the reality of the fact that there are things out of my control. Was I angry over this? Absolutely. Absolutely. Was I angry with God? I wasn't too sure. It was questionable. And I'm being honest and transparent. It was questionable. God, why would you do this now? God had a reason. And I have to trust him. I've got to believe that he has this under control. And he's going to work this thing out in accordance to his will, not mine. It's not easy to look and not see Pete and Shell, only to see Shell. Because you see, in those marriage vows, I promised to love her in sickness and health. And when I couldn't do it, then that love allowed me to be able to bring somebody else on board to take care of it and to do what I couldn't do. And so I'm thankful to God for that guidance and that direction and that vision to be able to do that, because that came from him. That didn't come from me. And so as we move forward, we have to learn through our trials and through our frustrations. And if we're angry, we got to learn to go to God and say, okay, I'm angry. I've told God, I don't know where I stand here with this, but I trust you. I trust you. And I depend on you. And no matter what, I used to say years ago, everything else can be messed up in my life, but that relationship, this walk I have with God, has to be right. It has to be there. Because my life, my existence, everything about me depends on that relationship with God. Quotling.com, I snatched a little poster down. It says, anger doesn't solve anything. It builds nothing, but it destroys everything. It destroys everything. We see this in the world today. We see what anger is doing. And yet God is telling us, just in a very small verse, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because man's wrath does not produce what God intends for us to produce, and that is his righteousness. Ambrose Bierce writes, speak when you're angry, and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. Speak when you're angry. You will have the best speech you will ever regret. God wants us to learn to control our anger, our emotions. He wants us to trust him and depend upon him. He wants us to learn these traits, family, because there's a world out there. Just take a look. What are you going to have to deal with in the world tomorrow? Very simple. Take a look outdoors. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for the anger and the hostility and the issues that go on out here? Are you ready? Well, we got to get ready. This is our ready room, family. And God is preparing us to be able to rule with Jesus Christ. When Christ returns, what will he find you and I doing? Family, we took a look at just three instructions that James wrote, that God inspired him to write, to share with us. He wants us to be swift to hear his word, to allow his word to be a guide in our lives, to give us that direction that we need, to give us the hope that we need. He wants us to be slow to speak, because sometimes the things that come out of our mouth shouldn't be said. And when they're said, we can never retract them. We can't get them back. And so we have to be very careful with that. And he wants us to be slow to anger, because man's anger does not produce the righteousness of God. And what we do today, family, we must produce that righteousness. He has given us what we need to grow, to overcome. God wants us to learn not to just be hearers of his word, but doers. And in this process, family, we learn to please him. Do you still trust him? Do you still believe in him? Do you still call upon him? Do you walk with him daily? Do you talk to him periodically throughout the day? Is God important in our lives right now? Only you can answer that question. But family, as time goes on, it will tell what we're made of. And it will allow us to see where we really stand with God. Family, if we lack faith, ask God for it. If we lack wisdom, ask God for it. If we lack strength and courage, ask God for it. If we lack wisdom in being able to control our emotions, ask God for help. Don't sit at the traffic light in the wrong lane and everybody's trying to tell you, hey, wake up. You're in the wrong lane. Family, we don't want to find ourselves in that wrong lane. So we've got to stay focused. We have to stay focused. Last quote, Ralph Waldo Emerson writes, "For every minute you remain angry, you give up 60 seconds of peace of mind." Every minute you remain angry, you give up 60 seconds of peace of mind. God wants us to have a peace of mind. We must pray and ask God daily for the help we need to produce his righteous ways, because we want our ways, family, to be pleasing to him.